So today we are diving deep into a molecule that, well, it really lived this incredible double life.
It absolutely does.
On one hand, you'll find it as the active ingredient in some of the most potent commercial disinfectants out there, the kind of stuff that wipes out really resistant pathogens.
Spores, tough viruses, you name it.
Right. And then on the other hand, it's one of the oldest, most fundamental parts of your own human innate immune system.
It's a truly remarkable compound. I mean, it's a molecule that fundamentally bridges human biology and the cutting edge of modern therapeutic science.
And that's our mission for this deep dive. We're looking at hypochlorous acid, or HOCl. We've got a great scientific review here that covers its clinical use in, well, everything: dermatology, deep wound care, dentistry, post-op applications.
A huge range.
And we really need to unpack how this seemingly simple structure, just hydrogen, oxygen, and chlorine, manages to be both your body's secret sanitizer and this revolutionary tool. And crucially, why its formulation is the absolute key to unlocking all that potential.
The significance here is just so profound because this isn't some synthetic lab creation. HOCl is an endogenous compound.
Endogenous, so it's naturally present in all mammals.
Exactly. When your immune system detects an invader, your professional fighting cells, your neutrophils, they initiate what's called the respiratory burst, and they synthesize HOCl instantly.
On demand.
On demand. They use an enzyme, myeloperoxidase, plus hydrogen peroxide and the chloride ions that are already floating around in your body. It is literally the chemical weapon your body uses to disinfect itself right at the front line of an infection.
That innate connection is so powerful. But I think for most people, when they hear hypochlorous acid, their brain immediately jumps to conventional bleach.
Of course, sodium hypochlorite.
Which leads us right into the critical chemistry. What is the fundamental difference, and why does that molecular arrangement, whether it's HOCl or its counterpart, matter so
The
much?
difference is, it's everything, really.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to pH
Yeah.
and a concept we call speciation.
Speciation. Okay.
So hypochlorous acid is a weak acid. All that means is it doesn't really like to break apart in water. And its pK, which is just a measure of its strength, is right around the physiological range. We're talking 7.4, maybe 7.5.
So it's right at home in the body.
Perfectly tuned for it. And this is the critical factor. Which form or species the molecule takes is totally dependent on the pH of the solution it's in.
Okay, so in highly alkaline solutions, like conventional bleach.
The molecule mostly exists as the negatively charged hypochlorite ion, OCl minus. And yes, that ion is what gives bleach its germ-killing power,
Yeah.
but it's slow, it's harsh, and biologically it's just difficult to work with.
But if we drop the pH, get it into that mildly acidic sweet spot, say around 5 to 6.5.
The whole situation flips.
Or.
Precisely, at that ideal pH, the HOCl form dominates.
Yeah.
And the reason HOCl is the star of the show is because it's electrically neutral. Think about it. That negatively charged OCl minus ion gets repelled by the negative charge on microbial cell walls. It struggles to get inside.
But the neutral HOCl molecule is like a stealth missile. It can slip right through the microbial envelope without detection and detonate inside the cell.
That's a perfect analogy. A stealth missile versus a cannonball that just bounces off the target. And that's why your immune system needs it. It needs that rapid, localized action.
So any therapeutic formulation has to maintain that high fraction of neutral HOCl.
Absolutely. Maximal antimicrobial performance, whether it's happening in your body or it's in a bottle, depends on it. If the solution drifts even a little bit too alkaline, you lose potency dramatically because OCl minus takes over, and suddenly the pathogen is safe again.
That neutrality explains the delivery. So once this chemical stealth bomber gets inside, what's the mechanism? How does it actually destroy a cell, whether it's a bacterium or a virus?
It's just a strong, indiscriminate oxidant. Its lethality is almost immediate because it targets numerous vital components all at once.
It's like throwing a wrench into all the gears of the microbial machinery at the same time.
That's it, exactly. It rapidly oxidizes sulfhydryl groups. These are critical parts of enzymes and antioxidants the pathogen needs to survive.
So it's essentially rusting the essential parts of the machine.
That's a great way to put it. And beyond that, it chlorinates amino acids, which disrupts the pathogen's ability to build functional proteins. It also directly harms DNA synthesis and can rapidly deplete the cell's entire energy pool, its ATP. It's this multi-pronged attack that ensures such a rapid, comprehensive cell death.
This broad-spectrum multi-target mechanism you're describing, it leads us right into its reputation for antimicrobial supremacy. It's all about the sheer speed. When you look at the actual time kill studies, what does the data show?
The speed is what really sets it apart. And its spectrum covers, well, virtually everything. Bacteria, drug-resistant superbugs, viruses like SARS-CoV-2 and influenza, spores, fungi. And because of that indiscriminate oxidative method of destruction you mentioned, the risk of pathogens developing resistance is minimal.
So let's talk head-to-head competition. What were the results against common bugs like E. coli or Staph aureus?
The time kill studies are, frankly, astonishing. HOCL killed both Escherichia coli and Staphylococcus aureus in 0 minutes.
0 minutes, not okay. 1 minute, not 30 seconds. Zero.
0 minutes. It also neutralized Pseudomonas aeruginosa, which is a really problematic organism, in less than 1 minute.
That kind of speed is revolutionary. So why hasn't this molecule been the gold standard in hospitals for decades if it's that potent?
Well, that's the big question. That speed is the draw, but historically its instability has been the blocker. It's a problem we'll definitely get to later.
Okay.
But just to put the speed in context, compare those 0 minute results to something common like hydrogen peroxide.
Right, H2O2.
Against those same tough organisms, H2O2 often took over 90 minutes to do the same job. When you quantify it, the estimate is that HOCL is about 80 to 100 times more potent than equivalent concentrations of alkaline hypochlorite solutions, like the old Dakin solution.
That immense power must be why it's so critical for dealing with one of the ultimate challenges in clinical infection control, microbial biofilms.
Biofilms are a massive clinical problem. They cause these chronic, stubborn infections in wounds on medical devices. They're nearly impenetrable.
You mentioned these are aggregates of organisms, right, embedded in this protective matrix. And they can be up to, what, 1,500 times more resistant to antibiotics?
Up to, yes. HOCL is one of the few agents that can actually penetrate and degrade the biofilm matrix itself.
So it's not just killing the bacteria on the surface. It's breaking down the fortress and targeting the organisms hiding deep inside.
Exactly. This makes it incredibly promising for treating those chronic, drug-resistant, biofilm-producing strains, and we have solid data on this.
Mm.
There was a rabbit model for catheter-related staph epidermidis infection, a classic biofilm scenario. Researchers tested daptomycin, a powerful antibiotic, alone, HOCL lock therapy alone, and then the two combined.
And what happened?
Well, the daptomycin alone struggled against the biofilm, which is what you'd expect, but the combination therapy, using the HOCL lock alongside daptomycin, it achieved a 100% sterilization rate of the infected catheters.
100%.
A hugely significant result. The HOCL basically tears down the protective barrier, making the entire colony vulnerable, and then it allows the antibiotic to come in and finish the job.
If this molecule is this fast, this potent against biofilms, and it's something our own bodies make, the range of clinical applications has to be huge, which takes us right into the clinical landscape. Where is HOCL showing up now?
It's appearing everywhere we need decontamination and, importantly, immune support on skin and mucosal surfaces. So in chronic wound care, it's proving beneficial for really tough cases like diabetic ulcers or venous stasis ulcers.
And it's not just disinfecting.
Right. It doesn't just disinfect. It actively promotes healing through anti-inflammatory and immunomodulatory properties. It calms the whole wound environment down.
So it's not just a bleach for the skin. It's an immune modulator.
Precisely. Post-surgical application is another key area. Using HOCL as a spray or a gel can accelerate healing, reduce inflammation, and critically prevent a secondary infection at the surgical site.
What about scar management? That's a huge area.
For sure. Specialized HOCL gels have been shown to be effective and safe for treating both hypertrophic and keloid scars. They significantly reduce the pain and the itching associated with them, which is a major quality of life improvement.
Now, I know this comes up often with inflammatory skin conditions like eczema or atopic dermatitis. There's this history of using bleach baths. Where does HOCL fit in with that?
It's an adjunct treatment, for sure. But it is so important to clarify the distinction here. Those older protocols used highly diluted sodium hypochlorite baths, classic alkaline bleach.
And the results were mixed.
Very mixed. They were mostly just targeting Staph aureus on the skin. Stabilized HOCL formulations are chemically distinct. They're much less irritating. They maintain that critical neutral pH. And they're far less cytotoxic than those old alkaline solutions. It's just a much more elegant, controlled application.
And what about for aesthetic procedures, something like laser resurfacing, where the patient has a lot of redness and downtime?
The benefit there is accelerated recovery. A stabilized HOCL mist used as an adjunct was found to significantly reduce erythema, the redness, and minimize any post-procedure pigmentation changes. So less redness, faster healing, and a lower risk of complications.
Let's zoom in on two very specialized environments. The eye and the mouth.
Okay. In ophthalmology, it's becoming a standard adjuvant treatment for blepharitis, that's chronic eyelid inflammation. It reduces the bacterial load, which in turn could shorten how long patients need to use traditional antibiotic or corticosteroid drops.
And in dentistry, that high aerosol environment seems like a perfect use case.
Dentists need something fast, broad spectrum, and safe. HOCL is being used in anti-plaque protocols, and it's non-inferior to chlorhexidine, but without the big drawbacks.
No teeth staining or that awful metallic taste.
Exactly. And for virucidal activity in the operatory, the recommendation is 100 parts per million. At that concentration, you're getting inactivation of pathogens in saliva within 30 to 60 seconds. That speed is just crucial in a high-traffic, high-risk environment.
That speed and effectiveness must also apply to equipment safety. I mean, if you're fogging an entire ICU room full of expensive electronics, corrosion is a huge
A
concern.
major concern. But the data here is very reassuring. Studies confirm that an HOCL dry mist did not cause performance changes or penetration damage to critical electronic systems.
Even after repeated use.
This was after 90 fogging cycles. They tested sensitive things like finger pulse oximeters and even exposed microcontrollers. No damage.
Anyone who's ever ruined expensive monitoring gear with a corrosive disinfectant is breathing a sigh of relief right now.
Absolutely. It solves a huge logistical and financial hurdle.
So finally, let's touch on that surprising preclinical finding you mentioned earlier, the idea of HOCL limiting cancer cell survival.
It's fascinating because it ties right back to its core biological function. The framework suggests HOCL acts on two fronts. First, it reduces the inflammatory drivers of carcinogenesis.
Because we know chronic inflammation is a major risk factor for cancer.
Right. And second, because it's such a potent oxidant, it can directly inflict oxidative damage on tumor cells while being relatively safe for the surrounding healthy tissue.
A double action. It prevents the inflammatory conditions where cancer can start and then directly attacks the cells.
Correct. Now, this is purely preclinical in vitro and animal models, but it positions HOCL as a really compelling candidate for future adjunctive therapy. But I have to stress, clinical translation is still years away.
So, if HOCL is this potent, this safe, and this versatile, we have to come back to that question. Why was it historically overshadowed by cheaper alcohol and bleach? That brings us to the big hurdle, the stability problem.
That's it. The problem was instability. Because its effectiveness is so tightly locked into that narrow pH window, maintaining that equilibrium used to be incredibly difficult and expensive.
And it breaks down easily.
Its decomposition is accelerated by practically everything: high temperatures, light exposure, the presence of any organic matter. Historically, an HOCL solution had a very short shelf life, sometimes just a few days. That made widespread clinical use almost impossible.
It was chemically too fussy to be a reliable commercial product, but obviously modern formulations have cracked that problem.
They have. The tide has turned, thanks to some major technological breakthroughs. Modern formulations rely on incredibly precise pH control, specialized packaging to protect from light and air, and most importantly, new production methods like electrolysis. These allow for pure, stable solutions with much longer shelf lives.
And that stable formulation is key to its safety profile. I mean, if it's 100 times more potent than Dakankin solution, how does its safety really stack up?
It has a highly favorable safety profile simply because it's something the body already uses. It's very well tolerated. It's generally non-cytotoxic, making it significantly safer for sensitive human tissue than older antiseptics like povidone iodine or hydrogen peroxide.
And its end products are just.
Water and salt.
Now, since it has chlorine, we have to talk about environmental impact. People hear about disinfection byproducts from, say, municipal water chlorination. Should we be concerned about that with mass clinical adoption of HOCL?
That's an essential distinction to make. We absolutely should not conflate those risks. Topical HOCL solutions decay incredibly rapidly once they enter the wastewater system. The forces showed that a 75 ppm solution can decay to, well, virtually nothing, less than 4 times 10 to the minus 27th parts per billion in about 9 hours.
A near total breakdown. So it seems like stable tech and low environmental impact finally pushed the economics over the edge.
It did. HOCL has received significant regulatory recognition from the WHO, US EPA, FDA clearance for wound management. And most importantly, modern scalable manufacturing has just cratered the cost. We've seen a 90% price drop for the wholesale cost of HOCL in just the past 7 years.
90% drop. That's a remarkable shift.
It is. But we should end with the necessary caveat. While this molecule is incredibly promising, there is still a recognized need for more long-term clinical data for high-quality randomized controlled trials comparing HOCl directly with the established gold standards. We need that evidence to fully clarify its clinical value.
So we've traced the journey of this simple but incredibly powerful molecule, HOCl, from the very heart of your own immune response to the cutting edge of modern clinical therapy. It all exists in this narrow chemical sweet spot that makes it the body's perfect germ killer, offering unmatched speed and safety, as long as we can keep it stable.
And that innate connection, the fact that we're using a molecule our own bodies perfected millions of years ago, that's what makes this story so compelling. The source material notes that future research will focus on developing controlled release systems for long-term therapy. So I'll leave you with this to consider. Given HOCl's established roles in innate immunity, in modulating inflammation, even providing photoprotection, what revolutionary applications might become possible when scientists can harness its full potential through precise, long-term delivery, allowing it to work continuously deep within your tissue? That is certainly something for you to think about until our next deep dive.